Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. I want to thank you all for tuning in here live on FreemanTV.com, and we have an amazing, wonderful show for you tonight. Lennon Honor is a philosopher, a family man, and has a keen eye on the social engineering going on around you. And you better believe that he is the man that you would like to talk to as you become awake and aware to the madness going on around you. He is a wonderful counselor, empowering people with inspiration and bringing out what necessary tools we need for being future parents. He has two books published, Writings for the Fathers of the Future World and Deep in the Garden of Consciousness. There is a wealth of information on LennonHonor.com. You definitely want to check out his work. And he will be one of the speakers at Free Your Mind 3. So you absolutely want to get your tickets now to get over to Philadelphia, April 10th through 12th, and catch all the amazing talks that are going to go on at the Free Your Mind 3. But I can tell you straight from my heart that Lennon Honor is one you want to take cues from. I've met his family, I've seen his life, and he will show you the path to happiness in a world of madness. So I would like to share with all of you the wonderful person that is Lennon Honor. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Freeman. I appreciate the introduction, and it's an honor to speak with you. I've been following your work, I don't know, it may be about a decade now. My oldest son is 11, so it's been about a decade. And I remember when I first came across your work, I was so inspired to dig deeper into the media manipulation, you know, the subliminal messages, the subversive use of symbolism, the occult, and getting into my analysis over the last decade to be able to be on your show. It's almost like a reward, and I'm honored. I'm thankful to be able to talk with you, brother.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, and you have done it. I mean, we've talked about this before in our past shows, how much I love your breakdown of Michael Jackson's Beat It. And last time we spoke, we got deep into the 9/11 fear-based mind control program.
Yes. And that was the topic that I addressed at the last Free Your Mind conference. That's one of my other books, the 9/11 Fear-Based Mind Control Program. And it takes a critical analysis as to the psychological impact of the trauma of the event and then how that particular trauma has been used by mass media as a tool of psychological warfare. And also give plenty of examples of this level of media manipulation and then the impact that it has on the human psyche. That is such a very important topic for anyone to dissect, because a lot of what's taking place in the news, especially as it correlates to ISIS, that a lot of that was launched in around September 11th, and it's been steadily building ever since. And every single year this happens. September 11th, in the trauma of the event, on the anniversary, mass media issues particular programs that trigger the trauma. And then ultimately what's taking place is people externalize power, and that's how you maintain people in a state of control. ISIS is an excellent example of this type of manipulation.
No doubt. And it seems these things just are sprung upon us like they're coming from flying boards and just, you know, like where did I remember when the ATF was suddenly sprung on us, like, what? What's who are these guys, you know, or FEMA and Homeland Security and then ISIS and, of course, Al-Qaeda and all of the Hollywood terrorists. Right. You know, these are the Hollywood gangsters. A classic example, and this might lead us into an interesting topic of how Hollywood preempts the actual events in the political realms. Now, I do tend to binge watch some TV series, Netflix, you know, as you got to break up this homework, this study somehow, right?
Yes, but we can learn while we do analysis of a lot of that programming too, right?
Isn't that just it? You know, we can't just sit and watch a show. No, I'm busy going, no, look at this now. Look how this analyzes with that. And the one that has really struck me recently was this new series called House of Cards with Kevin Spacey. Mm-hmm. And he has been working his way. He actually came from Greenville, where we live now, and has been working his way up through the powerhouse, the power structure, and has now made it to the presidency, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this TV series, the conflict. Okay, so I'm sitting here watching the news, and I see Netanyahu talking about Iran and the nuclear arms treaty, and how he feels that, you know, given Iran nukes is just like, you know, stupid. And he said you could Google it, right? Just to see how dumb this whole thing is. And of course, the Iranians are standing on the other side saying, well, no, we're not going to make nukes, you know, just and if you're going to hold sanctions on us, then you're just creating conflict. And you must think that peace and security is an existential threat. Now, this is the language that they're using. But what tripped me out was that the exact same story and scenario was going on in this TV series, House of Cards, where the president was trying to bring about his America Works, which is basically Obamacare. He was having to siphon all the money away from FEMA, stating that this unemployment was a natural disaster. But at the same time, all of the employment being offered through this program were military-industrial corporations or the Department of Defense themselves. You know, it was only to fulfill the infrastructure of this federal government monster. And that was his America Works, which was really Obamacare. And you saw how he would go through this display of trying to bring this about and how it kept interfering with then into a plight with the Russians and a connection with trying to make an arms deal with them in Poland. So you just switched Russia for Iran and America Works for Obamacare. And I swear you've got the real scenario going on television and then what you're getting in the news, and you get to see the actual manipulation. And it blows my mind every time I see an exact scenario or a similar scenario, a mind social engineering campaign, and compare, and then you turn on the news and it's happening.
Yes, absolutely. I call this the global motion picture stage show. It's interesting. You said how Russia is interchangeable. You know, in other words, inside the show that you're talking about, Russia is a symbolic representation of Iran.
Yes. So
this is interesting because Russia and Iran are considered to be part of the quote unquote axis of evil. Okay. This is the language that is used within the global motion picture stage show. This too is a form of media mind control manipulation. It's a form of propaganda. Russia, Iran, Syria, Iraq, North Korea, sometimes even China, even though here in the United States of America, you turn over any product and it says made in China. But the point is that this is the axis of evil. So what oftentimes what happens in terms of in Hollywood is a storyline will be produced, and that particular storyline, it will correlate to what's taking place, or that what will take place, because it's normally in advance, what will take place in a political arena. And what this outlines is that there is a definite correlation between what I call the global motion picture stage show. Okay, in other words, supposedly real events in politics and actually made up fanciful events that are taking place in Hollywood. And what's very interesting about this is the social engineering part is that in most cases, what transpires in Hollywood predates what takes, and I'm talking about the television shows, the movies, what they show in the movies, what they show in the television shows, predate what actually takes place in the political arena. And this is part of the social engineering aspect of it all. That's an excellent example of it, that particular show. And another one that comes to mind, there's this movie that came out, American Sniper. And it's interesting, this movie comes out. It's considered to be one of the most popular movies right now, and it's breaking all these records. And soon after the film comes out, the actual real-life court case of the person who killed the quote-unquote American sniper, that particular court case is now starting. Okay, so in other words, what took place in terms of the timing of it all, that's where the manipulation part comes. That's the social engineering part. The timing of it all, it must predate. The programming must come out. The mind control programming, if you will, must come out. And in this case, to get people interested in this particular case, this American sniper, you produce this massive movie, and then soon after the movie is released, now the court case Okay, that's not by accident. That's strategic in Hollywood for things and events to take place like that. And now this particular court case, it does have political implications as well. This is what I call the global motion picture stage. So let me just say this real quick. Most people, when they tune into what they see on television, they perceive what they're seeing, especially when we talk about the mainstream news and in politics, they perceive it to be 100% real. Okay, this is the media manipulation part. 100% real, no questions, no critical questions as to the information that they're receiving, no critical thought. You accept it as being true. Okay. The interesting thing about this is that people will have a very real physiological, a very real emotional reaction to the events that play themselves out on their television screen when they're watching, let's say, the mainstream news, or when they watch a movie in a theater. They will still have an emotional reaction, even though these are just actors that are playing a role. The interesting thing about the media manipulation complex is that what takes place in the movies, even though people go to the movie theater, they watch it, and they know that it's not necessarily real, it still has an impact on them. And the reason why it still has an impact on them is because on some level, even if it's on a subconscious level, they interpret what they're seeing and what they're hearing as being somehow real. Okay, but again, these are just actors playing a role. The global motion picture, and see, here's the thing. People go to the movies, or they go watch the television, or maybe they go on the internet and they watch these things, and it has real influence and impact on them, and people perceive it to be real, 100%, or at least to some degree real. Some people 100% real, especially when it comes to the mainstream news. Now, the fascinating part about this is that's a form of entertainment. Most people don't realize that what takes place in politics is the same thing. In other words, people perceive what takes place what's going on in the political arena to be 100% true. Okay, they accept it without any critical thought. Okay, and all of the different individuals, the characters, Dick Cheney, George Bush, Barack Obama, whoever the case may be, these are really just actors. Okay, I want people to understand this. These are actors in what I call the global motion picture stage show. Okay, the global motion picture stage show is what takes place when you know, in a political arena, but most people accept it as being 100% true, not realizing that in most cases, these are just actors playing out particular roles, and what they tend to say correlates to what is taking place in terms of Hollywood actors. As the case is with a show like House of Cards. Perfect example of the correlation between Hollywood, media manipulation that's taking place there, and mind control, and in the political arena. The point being is that people have to begin to ask critical questions about what they are seeing in the political arena so they can see that the different levels of manipulation and understand that the social engineering always comes before the actual stage show that we see in the political arena. And what this proves is that everything that we see inside the political arena is not necessarily 100% true. And in many cases, it's nothing more than actors playing their roles based upon pre-scripted information that we find in Hollywood television shows, Hollywood movies, and the entertainment industry, so forth and so on. This is what I call the global motion picture stage show.
Fantastic. And you nailed that one. So let's have a look at the reverse. Just recently, I had Jay Parker on, a satanic ritual abuse survivor of an Illuminati family. Mm-hmm. And we were discussing these pedophile rings that were going on, and mostly around the Buckingham Palace, the Queen, and the Vatican. Now, all of a sudden, there's a released a videotape that appears to be filmed by a tourist of a naked man climbing out of a window in Buckingham Palace, getting halfway down the wall and then dropping, seeming to fall, you know, below the camera, so you couldn't tell if he hurt himself. Well, so immediately people were taking to this, saying, look, you know, here's a 16-year-old boy escaping Buckingham Palace, claiming to have been raped by the royals themselves. And so it just so happens I'm interviewing a satanic ritual abuse survivor. I use this as an example of what might be happening. And it turns out that this entire event of the naked man climbing out of Buckingham Palace was a publicity stunt for a television show known as The Royals.
Hmm.
Therefore, immediately discrediting anyone that had used this as evidence for this horrific satanic whistle ritual abuse whistleblowers that have been coming forward, right? This is the reverse of that scenario of putting it out there and making it false.
Yeah, so in other words, taking something that could be seen as evidence of a particular act, in other words, the satanic ritual abuse, a lot of the pedophilia, and I've done a lot of research, and I have a whole documentary dealing with the pedophilic projection of the child as an adult. I have a series, the early works of Walt Disney, the foundation of a pedophilic institution. There's a lot of that taking place, but what you're referring to is how evidence of that particular type of a crime can be manipulated by mass media and turned and spun in a particular way to where people won't perceive it to be as evidence. They would perceive it to be, in this case, as being a publicity stunt. That's a very interesting publicity stunt to have someone jumping out of a window naked and falling to the ground. How that could be considered to be a publicity stunt, I'm not quite sure, but I can see the media manipulation there, turning something that can be seen as evidence of let's say child abuse and being turned around and being turned into something where people begin to perceive it as being nothing more than part of a stage show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And I mean, there were articles written about this and people were taken by it, and then they finally came forward. And so, yeah, this discredits people that are trying to move forward on these topics, which, of course, you have covered very well. And I highly recommend it, listeners, to check out Lennon Honor's films on these early days of Walt Disney and this pedophilic campaign, because this is one that has been rising to the surface. And we know that they're going to use all of their techniques to make this the new normal. And really, that's what we're talking about here. Lennon, is the idea of them creating the new normal, right?
Yeah, well, part of it is to sexualize children. And this is a topic that a lot of people don't like to talk about. A lot of people are fearful of the topic, and a lot of people have their own traumas that kind of cause them on a subconscious level to not want to deal with this particular topic, because in dealing with this particular topic, now they have to delve deep into their own subconscious mind and all the trauma that resides there. But I want to say this, and that is that not only the sexual projection of the child as an adult as being a preeminent theme in a lot of media programming, in particular in Disney films, but also in terms of the sexual molestation of children, this has been going on in the Vatican and in the Catholic Church for a long, long time. I mean, and a lot of people, even to this day, are still in denial of this truth. And yet we have court cases that come out over and over again. And what the Vatican does, they usually just pay people off. It's not a big deal to them. And it's been going on for a very, very long time. It's interesting that even when there is clear-cut evidence of this particular behavior, people still are going to denial and they don't want to talk about it. Now, the problem is this, from my vantage point, because I'm a father of five children and I take my responsibilities as a father very seriously. There is no way that any of my children will ever be sexually molested on my watch. It simply will not happen. I'm very careful with who my children are around, the situations and circumstances that they're around, who they're socializing with, and I'm very vigilant about this particular issue. The problem is that when we go into denial mode, especially doing, is we're setting up a dynamic within our own mind wherein we are opening up the door for our own children to experience certain levels of sexual abuse. And that's why we have to be very careful, and we should support those people who are coming out and blowing the whistle on this particular issue and not allow it to be swept under the rug. And what I have seen is that a lot of this is swept under the rug, not just with the Catholic Church, but you can just look within the Christian church, church all the way across the board. The sexualization of children in the form of child sexual molestation is one of the preeminent themes, and yet most people don't want to talk about it. And we do need to talk about it. I know it's an uncomfortable topic, but it is something that's been going on for a long time, and it is starting to become, okay? And it's not that it is yet, quite yet, but it is starting to become the new normal. That's a problem.
And this is why we started Release the Stars, in the hopes that the celebrities that have gone through this type of pedophilic rape and trauma that has been going on throughout Hollywood since its earliest days, from the very beginning, people like Corey Feldman writing choreography, coming forward to say that him and Corey Haim had been abused many times as children. And we see it now in what they're doing with Justin Bieber, and just kind of alluding to pedophilic behavior with Justin Bieber when he was underage. I'm not sure if he's 18 or not yet. But so we started the Release the Stars campaign in this hopes of allowing the celebrities to know that we have their back, because the biggest problem we have with this situation is no one wants to talk about it, just like you're saying. And the people involved don't want to come forward because they'll be shunned and they'll be ridiculed. And we know this. We see how the public really are a pack of dogs when it comes to social networking, or, you know, you're really putting yourself out there at times, and people are not kind when they're utilizing the internet as a form of communication.
Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up an important point. A lot of the victims are afraid to speak out. You know, so even, and so the problem is that those who have enough courage, a lot of them are dismissed, and in many cases, they're discredited by mass media itself. And that's another problem. You know, for, just to take the step to come out and speak about it. You know, you gave the reference of Corey Feldman. There's so many different actors over the years who have come out and talked about the different experiences that they've had, and not even necessarily, you know, being exposed, you know, to sexual experiences as children, but other experiences, too, that were traumatizing. There's a lot of people who have come out to speak about that. And those who had enough courage, a lot of those people, they went through extreme levels of scrutiny, and a lot of that was fueled through mass media. That's why it's very difficult for a lot of people to even step forward, to have the courage, and then to go to endure all the ridicule that takes place once they come forward. And I think that's one of the major reasons why we have to be vocal and speak out about this particular topic. I mean, I have documentaries. I have two documentaries, actually three documentaries that talk about this particular issue, especially as it relates to Disney films. As an example, real quickly here, when I talk about the pedophilic projection of the child as an adult, this is a concept that I've delved into, and what it really illustrates is that in order for a child to be perceived to be a sexual being, you must make the child seem as if the child is an adult. And so you put the child in adult situations, and you always make sure that the child is not being supervised by an adult. You make sure that the child, its parents are not around, or at least one of their parents, in most cases, you know, both. And that's why you, in a lot of the Disney films, you see this preeminent theme of the children out doing things by themselves without their parents, or in many cases, they're orphans, right? Their parents are not around, this type of thing. And they're engaged in these behavior patterns as if they are responsible adults. This is a problem. Even walking through the woods late at night as a child, that's a problem. In other words, if you can project a child as an adult, then now they can be subject to the being treated as an adult, as a sexual being. And therefore, if you can sexualize a child, it becomes okay now because they are to be perceived to be an adult. This is a preeminent theme within Disney films, and it's been going on for such a long time. This is just like you were saying earlier, that it's becoming more and more normalized, and we have to be very careful about it. And I want one other thing I want to say. This is not a new phenomenon either, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, in my documentary, The Early Works of Walt Disney, The Foundations of a pedophilic institution, I go back to the early 1920s, and there was a video series titled The Alice Comedies, and this was what really launched Walt Disney's career. And he really wasn't an animator per se, but as a producer of animated films, this particular film series at the Alice Comedies is rife with pedophilic projections of the child as an adult, this young girl who is put inside these situations and circumstances without her parents. And she has on makeup and she has on a dress. Her hair is fixed in such a way to where this is how a grown woman would dress. And she has all these different experiences as a child. You see this over and over again in Disney films. The pedophilic projection of the child as an adult, it is becoming more and more normalized. And we can even take it one step further, and this is my last comment on this, because you brought up Justin Bieber. You can look at Britney Spears. You can look at Christina Aguilera. Justin Timberlake, but in particular, the young females who come to Disney and how their lives turn out, that's not by accident. They have been exposed to things as children while they were coming up to Disney, and as a result, their lives take on a particular course because of the different levels of degrees of trauma, sexual trauma, and otherwise. This is one of the main reasons why it is important for us to support those people who are speaking out on this particular issue.
Yeah, definitely. If I could talk to Britney, oh, that poor girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, she has a horrific sex room set up. She has numerous different identities and speaks in satanic tongues and thinks that she's the Antichrist. Poor girl. And, you know, she was a Mouseketeer.
That's right.
And people just don't see, you know, Disney is another one that has that face that just doesn't allow people to see the reality of it because, you know, how could this little mouse be so dangerous and villainous? And So I want to tell listeners, members, that you can join Lennon and I for a live video chat immediately after this broadcast. So members, head on over to the members section at 9 p.m. Eastern on freemantv.com. You know where the members section is. And you can join Lennon and I for a live video talk. If you want to join in the conversation, email me at freeman@freemantv.com. And I'll get you in the phone queue so we can all talk together. Because Lennon's a wonderful source of information. I would like to give you guys a chance to pick his brain.
Yeah, please do. I look forward to that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And so Free Your Mind 3 coming up April 10th through 12th. And it's going to be an epic event. I was curious as to what you will be presenting there.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I am thinking at this point that I'm going to be doing a presentation on subliminal messages. This is a topic that a lot of other people have addressed. I have a 6 hour or 8 hours, I think, an 8 hour video series titled The Truth About Subliminal Messages, How to Protect Your Subconscious Mind. And my approach is to assist people in the first place, understanding how your conscious mind works and then how your subconscious mind works and the interplay between the two. But then also to understand why it is so important for us to become symbol literate, why it's important for us to understand media manipulation in the context of subliminal messages, because when you understand it and come into a level of conscious awareness as to this degree of manipulation, you can actually make a conscious choice to protect your subconscious mind. And the problem is, especially when we talk about mind control and media manipulation, all that is designed to literally manipulate the subconscious mind so as to modify human behavior, modify human thought without a person's conscious awareness. This is one of the misconceptions that people have about subliminal messages, that somehow it's supposed, it's dealing with your conscious awareness. No, the reason why it's called subliminal is sub. Sub implies below. Liminal means the line or the line of demarcation between your conscious awareness and your subconscious awareness. In other words, subliminal means below the normal auditory and visual perception of the human being. So that's precisely why it's called subliminal. And that below that line, that's where the subconscious mind, that's why it's called subconscious, subliminal. And so people have to understand this dynamic, because all of the programming that people receive, throughout our lives, whether it's coming from, you know, Disney, whether it's coming from the television shows, whether it's coming from the movies, whether it's coming from the music, another example, whether it's coming from the mainstream news, whatever the case may be, much of that is designed to impact a person's subconscious mind. And then if you use subliminal messages as the methodology, if you will, you can basically program a person subconsciously without them being consciously aware of it. And as a consequence, you can modify a person's behavior, because most people, they operate based upon subconscious programming. What they do day by day is based upon subconscious programming, so they don't necessarily have to think about what they're doing. Well, that's precisely why we call it mind control. So to be able to understand these dynamics and get to a point where we can make a conscious choice to protect our subconscious mind, that's really what my ultimate objective will be during the Free Your Mind conference, when I present The Truth About Subliminal Messages, How to Protect Your Subconscious Mind. Not only will I talk about some basic elements of human psychology, but I'll also give people illustrations. We'll take a look at subliminal messages in advertisements. We'll take a look at subliminal messages in music videos, and I'll have pictures, crop pictures and all that stuff. We'll take a look at all of that stuff, and that's going to be the topic that I'll be getting into, and it'll also correlate to my book, the 9-1-1 Fear-Based Mind Control Program, as well. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm just happy to be a part of it again this year.
Yeah, me too. It's worth the trip, guys, and we are working on a way to bring it to you live, or just post live online if you can't make it to Philadelphia. Well, we're working on that all out, so just so everybody knows, you might still get to see it, and you know you will all get to see it when it's after the fact, but being there is something completely different.
It sure is. And you, not only do you get to see Freeman, I mean, there's so many other wonderful people who have done work for such a long time, you know, world-class, high-caliber people who have been doing this work for a long time. You'll be able to listen to them speak, but you can walk up to them and talk with them. You know, I'm like that. I like talking to everybody. So it's a wonderful, wonderful event.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you want to watch Free Your Mind 2, it's right there on freemantv.com. Just go to watch and the Illuminati Mind Control Conference and check out all the speakers from last year, because it really becomes this unified thought. And I have a feeling this is going to happen again this time, because I'll be talking more about the psychology of things and the art of magic and how that's going to interplay in the creation of our new world, and how we can start to manifest in the ways that we want to manifest. And I have a feeling that all the talks are going to go in this how-to direction and finding our proper consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's one of the critical components, is to give people a how-to, you know.
Yeah.
And this is the thing about you, because I'm talking about going back a decade ago, at least a decade ago, when I was exposed to your work. A lot of that early work that you were doing, a lot of the early work that I was doing too, it was outlining and exposing a lot of this stuff that's out there. And it is, I mean, at a certain point, when you really get deep into it, I know there was probably a point for you in your progressions, and you progressed a lot earlier than I did. But I remember for me, at a certain point, I was overwhelmed. You know what I mean? Because it was so, there's so much. Once you start to do the analysis, once you start to do the research, you start to read, you start to study, you watch other people's documentaries, like I was watching your stuff. It can become overwhelming. But what happens is once you get that level of understanding, then you can take it to the next level. We're in now, it's solutions. And that's where we get to the how to part. You see what I'm saying? So that's why when you said the how to, that is so very important. I think that we are now getting to a point collectively, consciously, if you will, to where we're centering, we're not just talking about the manipulation that's out there, but we're also providing people with solutions and how-tos, because the solutions and how-tos is what's going to allow people to manifest the type of life that they want to manifest, irrespective of the control network, irrespective of the what is this brother? He says the powers that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Respective of what they have to say or what they want for people, that we can still manifest the quality and caliber of life that we want to manifest. But it has to be a conscious choice, and we have to be given practical tools that we can use in order to make that happen. And I think that that's a wonderful thing that's taking place in terms of this event and the information to be presented there. It would literally give people the tools that they will need to take things to the next level in their life. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. And you do a wonderful job counseling people. And I know that you have an amazing heart, and you obviously have something right, because your family is just spot on, a wonderful, amazing group of people. So, you know, what we find is that a biggest problem that we have right now is people say, well, I have no one to speak to about this. And, people are trying to find a method of coping while feeling all alone with their topics and afraid to bring it up in front of anyone. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about your counseling and a little bit about what we could do to help people to start to bridge the gap and open these topics or feel okay about it.
Yes. And see, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. I remember when I really started to get deep into understanding the power structure. And it is really, really deep. I mean, it is so deep that at a certain point, you know, for me, I felt like, you know, this is just too much. Like, you know, why even keep going down this path? That's difficult for people. It really is. It's almost like if you're raised a certain kind of way and you think that you know what the truth is and you've been told that this was the truth. You know, it's like the public education system tells you, yeah, this is what took place. This is the truth. This is what is taking place. And then, you know, the mainstream news, they tell you something too. And this is the truth too. You know, then the religious centric programming. Yeah, this is the truth too. And then sometimes our parents, what they tell us, and we think that it's all the truth. You know, Santa Claus, you know, the tooth fairy. It goes on and on and on. You get to a point where you start to realize how many lies you've been told. You know, and then sometimes the lies are from the people that you love the most, and it becomes very, very difficult. And then it also becomes difficult to start to look for the truth. And then once you find it, it becomes a challenge to speak that truth.
Mm. You know, George Washington never chopped down a cherry tree.
I believe it.
It's a lie. It's a lie about never lying.
That's right. And no one discovered gravity because an apple fell and hit him on the head. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so many different fanciful stories that we've been told. And then when you get to the point where you start to realize how much you've been lied to, it can be a difficult challenge for people. And then to take it to the next level, to where you start to research and to find the truth. And then once you find the truth, to get the courage to start to speak the truth, I think a lot of people, that's where we get stuck right there. But it's so important for people to be able to talk and to share. And the more people who do share your story, share what you found, do a documentary, do a video, do a radio show, the more people who do that, the more of a transformative effect that we will have on the planet. So part of what I do in my consultations is to assist people in developing the courage to get to the point where they start to not only share their story, but also to start to speak out and help other people to live happier lives, you know, to live more empowered lives beyond the control network itself. And this is the thing I just want to tell people. You have to be encouraged. It can be so overwhelming. And I know you know this, Freeman, because, I mean, you've been researching, you know, you were researching many, many, many years before I even started to get into the research part of it. And there are things, there's so much out there, and there's so much out there that can get a person to a point where it's like, there's no point in me even going any further. I just want to give up. You can't do that. You have to be able to not only embrace the information, but master the information to such a degree to where you can share with other people and help other people to get beyond the quote-unquote matrix. The problem is that so many of us, because it is so overwhelming, we allow the information to master us. You see what I'm saying? The information is we know the stuff, but then the stuff starts to master us. It influences our thoughts. It influences our behavior in a negative way. We have to be able to maintain a positive outlook and then use the information to help other people to get beyond the control network. And you can't do that when you are so inundated and your mindset is such to where you don't feel like you have the courage to be able to speak out in the first place. So part of what I try to do with people in personal consultations is to assist them in getting comfortable with being able to express the truth that they know needs to be shared with the world. It can be a challenge to share that truth, but it is something that we all must do. I remember I took that step. I set up Linen Honor Films, and I started doing all these documentaries. You know, then I started writing books. I started doing radio shows. All kinds of stuff. You've done this. You know, so many of other people, they've done this. And look at here I am all these years later. I don't know what, 11 years later, and now I get to talk to one of the people who inspired me in the first place.
Yeah.
Saying this is what it's all about.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt at all. It's an amazing time we live in. And I think that the steps that we have to take for change are not as large as people want to project them out to be. That, you know, it starts simply at home.
Absolutely.
With the family core. And obviously there has been a hardcore attack on the family core and what they are now calling the modern family.
Yeah, absolutely. Even the term modern family, there's a show called something to that.
Yeah. I use that as an example because, you know, it's Disney again, ABC, or is it Fox? Either one, it doesn't matter. It's the social engineering. They say creating the new normal. I mean, that's one of their catchphrases. Mm. And then the modern family. And,
right.
Of course, all of this is the dissolution of the atomic family, the core of the family.
Absolutely. And that's where the power resides. For instance, let me just give everyone an example. My wife and I, we have 5 children and we homeschooled our children. The first 2 we gave birth at a birthing center. The last 3 we gave birth at home. So we did home birthing and I delivered my last 3 children with my own hands here at home. We also, you know, we're careful with our children in terms of who they socialize with. We're careful in terms of what they watch. We don't have a television at home, but what they watch on the internet. We're very careful about what they're exposed to. We are very much responsible parents in these regards. Now, if we go back to my own childhood, I had the opposite experience. My father was a drug addict and a crackhead. He was abusive to my mother. He stole things from the home. He was abusive to my siblings. He was abusive to me. I never saw an example of a man, a family man. I never saw an example of a dedicated father. I never saw an example of a committed husband. You know, my father, you know, he was not only, you know, an alcoholic and drug addict, but he was also, you know, out having sexual intercourse. I remember one time I found a condom in the sink. He had come home from one of his drug runs, and when he came home, he went down into his bathroom, and then he left. And then when I went down into the bathroom, there was a used condom in the sink. So these are the types of experience. I go on and on and on, and the horrible, traumatizing experiences that I've been through in my life, never seeing an example of a positive family structure, never seeing an example of an honorable man in my life, that early childhood experience. And yet here I am all these years later, and my wife, we've been able to build for the last 13 going on 14 years a positive relationship. No arguing, no fussing, no fighting, no betrayal, no cheating, no disrespect. And then we're raising these children within this loving environment. So part of what I'm saying is that one of the solutions is for us to get to a point where in how we relate to each other as human beings, and in particular as men and women, is conducive to establishing positive relationships and healthy family institutions. And here's why. Here's why. Because when you have that, and when children experience that, the influence that the control network has on them is greatly reduced. In other words, for me, it took me 29 years to get to a point in my life to where I begin to question the control network, where I begin to question, you know, what is this? What is the Illuminati? You know, what are these secret societies? You know, it took me 28 years to start. Why is mass media all of a sudden they're bringing up these stories about these terrorists? You know, who is Al-Qaeda? Well, I never heard of Al-Qaeda. Osama bin Laden? It took me 28 years. And in around 2001, shortly after September 11, 2001, I started to ask critical questions because I knew something wasn't quite right. But imagine 28 years of my life, and then here I am now, 39. I've had 11 years now to really dissect the media manipulation. But this is after the fact. This is after the 28 years of programming, wherein I bought into the illusions and all of the lies that I have been taught throughout my life. Well, can you imagine if we raise our children with a level of understanding that it took me 28 years to just get started to delve into? What if we bestow that upon our children in the first place? You see the difference that the control network has no more power if enough of us do that, because what will happen is now we're raising children who by the age of, let's say, 10, 11, or 12, they have a level of intellectual process and understanding that would allow them to see through all of the illusion, and then they can act accordingly. Whereas for me, it wasn't until I was 28 where I began to ask critical questions about the control network. So this is why the family institution is so very important. And this is also precisely why so much of the programming is designed to destabilize the family unit, to cause men and women to be at odds with each other. In the absence of that cohesion between men and women, you ultimately have dysfunctional family units. And when you have dysfunctional family units, the children will not be taken care of properly, like I was not, like many of us were not. And what happens now, those children are more susceptible to the programming that is out there. There's no buffer zone. They are enthralled by the programming. There's no buffer zone. There's no protection there. But when you are in a committed relationship and when you are raising a family in a positive, loving home environment and you're keeping your children's consciousness safe, you literally protect them from all the programming, and now you have conscious beings walking on the planet who have a level of intellectual process and they're not subject to the programming, and they don't have to spend the first 28 years of their life in this fog of confusion. This is precisely why establishing positive male-female relationships and developing healthy family institutions is so important. And when we think about it, because we brought up that show, The Modern Family, there's nothing positive about that. But I want people to understand that program has been going on for a long time. You can look at what was that cartoon, The Simpsons, okay? And then even before that, you can look at that show, Married with Children.
Right.
All of that was designed as social engineering to begin to destabilize people's understanding as to what it means to have a positive relationship between a man and a woman, and also what it means to establish positive, healthy family institutions. One thing that I can say is that what my wife and I, what we are doing, it is a conscious choice, and we are giving our children what they need to be greater than the system itself. And as a consequence, they're being placed in a position to where they will be able to have a much more powerful and influential impact in people's lives at a much earlier age. And that's precisely what anyone can do with their children if they make the conscious choice to raise their families in the best way they know how.
Amen, brother. Amen. Because the truth is that we are not out to save ourselves. You know, as these years roll on, as you're saying, Lennon, we learn that we're not here to save ourselves. It's the future that we are trying to nudge into the right direction and try to be the proper buffer to bring about this manifestation of a positive future. It's not, so many people are caught up in the concept that if we go and eradicate the bad guy, and everybody has their finger pointed at a different bad guy, and thinking that if we could eliminate them, then all of our problems are solved. But as you see, you can't take Rome out of the Romans.
That's right.
It's in the social engineering.
And the social engineering will continue to persist indefinitely until such time as we make the decision to raise a new generation of people who are operating on a conscious level at an earlier age. Because you can interchange. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. You're still going to get the same result. You see what I'm saying? You look at all the secret societies that have been around for such a long time. Well, there's a reason why. It's not about that particular generation. You know, whoever is in that particular secret society during that generation, that stuff is, the goal in mind is to continue to perpetuate that particular system indefinitely. So people have to stop thinking in terms of, like, I have to change the whole system right now. We have to begin to strategize thinking into the future. And so if we're going to be looking into the future, what does that mean? That means that we have to look to the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, and that's how we must plan. And the best way to put the next generation in a more empowered position is to raise them in a home environment where their consciousness are being protected, where they are given love, where they are given affection, where they are properly guided by two parents who love them. That's the best way to do that, and you can perpetuate that over time. If enough of us did that, let's say for three generations, the power structure itself would cease to exist, and part of the reason why, and I know some people may take offense to this, but part of the reason why is because there would be no need for it to exist. Understand that the system exists. One of the reasons why the system exists is because it's self-perpetuating, because people buy into the system and they continue to contribute, and in a sense, they continue to sacrifice the next generation to the system. Right. But what you do is in other words, if you do something different, the system will have no reason to exist anymore. It will have no more power. Therefore, it would have no reason to exist. And that's why we have to start with what's taking place inside the home. Most important thing. I don't have my children watching those old Disney films. I don't have my children listening to the music that is disrespectful to women. You know, I just don't allow them to experience all that. I've done documentary work on Rihanna and a lot of the programming and the occultic aspects of the negative occultic aspects of all of that stuff. My children, they don't know any of that stuff. They do know the manipulation, however. Let me give a quick example for people so you can understand how it's not like we have to do something major. What we have to do is it has to do with the mind, you know, like the conference, Feed Your Mind. Here's an example. Last year, my sons and I, they were in basketball, so we were watching a basketball game. And while we were watching, and this is on the internet, while we were watching this basketball game, the cheerleaders, they showed the cheerleaders dancing around. And, you know, of course, cheerleaders, they don't have many clothes on when they do what they do. And my sons, they saw that, and because of how I'm raising them, they were perplexed. They said, "Daddy, why are they dressed like that?" Okay. Now, some fathers would have been like, "Oh, because they're sexy," or "Oh, because you know." No, I want them to understand intellectually why it is that they're dressed like this. And again, my oldest son, he just turned 11. See, we can teach these boys and girls, for that matter, early on, you know, these life lessons that will empower them so they can understand what the control network is and how it operates. Well, son, what this is it's a form of manipulation, and they know what that means. What is taking place here is that they're using this woman. And they're using her body, and they want to show as much of it as possible. They're using her body to attract men so that the men will watch the basketball game, so that men will come to the basketball game. Some men will only come just to see the women, and they may say, "I'm going to watch the game." But really, what they really, on a subconscious level, because of psychosexual programming, they're really coming to see the cheerleader. Now, I can have this conversation with my sons. And so my sons, when they hear me say that, they said, "Well, Daddy, that's not right. She shouldn't be dressed like that. That's inappropriate." And I said, "Yeah, it is inappropriate. That's a sexualization of women. That's called sexism, son. And there's a lot of that." Okay, so they understand this. And now here's the thing. My oldest son, at the time he was 10 years old, he goes, "Well, Daddy, if that's the case, do they have men cheerleaders who dress like that?" You see the level of intellectual process there? You see, that's the critical mind. He's asking critical questions that is really getting to a deeper issue here. We want to understand that, you know, how people relate, men and women relate to each other. Women tend to being perceived to a lot of men as being these sex objects to be dominated sexually. And I say, "You know, son, no, they do have some male cheerleaders every once in a while, but not in the NBA. I haven't seen any, but they're never dressed like that. Is that fair?" And my oldest son, he says, "No, Daddy, that's not fair. If it was fair, then he would be dressed like them, too, and he would be dancing around just like they are." I said, "Yes, it's not fair. This is called sexism." He understands that. Now, in having that conversation with him at the age of 10, and even before that, he understands subliminal messages and mind control. He understands what the 911 fear-based mind control program is. But in having that conversation, anytime he sees anything on the internet wherein sexism is being exhibited, he can identify it. And he can say that's inappropriate. And if something pops up while he's on the internet, he knows to go ahead and move beyond it. But in the first place, consciously, he can identify this degree of manipulation. And we're just talking about the sexualization of women for the purposes of commerce. Okay, that's just one dynamic, but there's other aspects that we can take a look at that my children understand. Now, the point that I'm making is that because my son is being raised to intellectualize what he's seeing and his father is here to guide him, and his mother is here to guide him along the way, he is beyond that degree of programming. Well, can you imagine if that took place for me? Where would I be at intellectually today? What if that took place for you, Freeman, or for any one of the viewers, if our parents did the same thing, had those intellectual conversations? See, it starts inside of the home. I can only imagine where my son will be intellectually, understanding the mind control aspect, the media manipulation, so forth and so on, the power structure. I can only imagine where he will be in his life when he's 39 years old.
Yes.
With this level of understanding? Okay, so I want people to understand that it all starts at home, but we have to make a conscious choice. We have to be conscious parents, and this is precisely what my wife and I, we have been doing and we continue to do, and we try to inspire other families to do the same.
And you do it so well. Again, I can stand as a testimony to the loving embrace of Lennon Honor, because I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah, you came over, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cooked for you, the children cooked for you and everything. A lot of people don't realize this for me, because you were one of those people that I was inspired by to get started. You see what I'm saying? So for you to end up coming over to my house, it was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? It's like a basketball player who's been playing basketball their whole life and they get to meet Michael Jordan.
Yeah. You know? Well, we love it, man. We love it.
It was so cool. Another person is Alex Antrieg. I remember watching him earlier. This was around the same time I was checking your stuff out, and he had his show back then. And I remember my wife was like, hey, there's this one guy, too. Check him out. And I was checking, and I was like, oh, this guy. And I get to meet him at the Free Your Mind Conference. This is what I'm saying, people. It's not that we have to do something major to get to the level of someone, you know, like Freeman, because you know, you are seen to a lot of people like a celebrity, and it's understandable. I know you're not into that whole, okay, I'm, you know, I understand that. But people, they see you, they put you on a particular, it's a pedestal, but I think it's well-deserved because the amount of work that you've done over many, many years. But the point that I'm making here is that people have to understand this. It's not that you have to become the next Freeman or the next Alex Antrieg or the next Mark Passio. That's not it. You just do your part. And if you do your part enough and you help people enough, everything always comes full circle. And I'm living testimony to this truth. I'm talking with Freeman Fly right now on his radio show. So that's what I'm saying. We don't have to do something major per se to get to that level. We only need to make our contribution and do it long enough, make that commitment to do it, continue to do it, persist, and everything will come full circle. And that's precisely what we need.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a tough thing for people to let go of the system for the apparent chaos that would ensue without it. But we have experienced life beyond the system matrix, and we can see that there is a divine force that is loving, powering, and nurturing, that just throws the right things in your way if you are on your right path and in your right mind. It's amazing.
It is, and I have five children, so you can imagine. Okay, I have five children to take care of and a wife to take care of, and yet a way has been made, is continuing to be made for me to continue to do this type of work. And this can happen for anyone, but you got to make that commitment to your life purpose and see it through its natural progressions, and things will work out. They always do. And it's not easy either. Freeman, I know you know this to be the truth. It's not easy, but it is necessary. And we have to make that commitment and stay true to that commitment. That's what the world needs.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are plenty of moments of doubt, but that's what makes it so miraculous when everything comes together, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Both sides of that scale.
Yeah.
Well, we are quickly running out of time here, Lennon. I wanted to get to a few things, but I want to remind the members that we will be in a live video broadcast immediately after the show. Just jump on over to the members section and send me an email at freeman@freemantv.com if you want to phone in and talk with Lennon Honor. So immediately after show, 9 p.m. Eastern, here on freemantv.com. Don't miss out. It's a good time, and it's a good time to subscribe, guys. Got a lot of stuff coming your way. So, you know, help build this thing into the powerhouse it needs to be so that we can get this word out, because I think that we have some very good solutions coming out of all the guests and out of all the thoughts that are coming here. And we see that it's so much closer to home, and that's what we really want to touch upon. And the friendship agenda, I really believe that friendship as a currency could revolutionize the world. And just the last thing, before I let Lennon speak some more, is this idea that we don't know what's coming in the future. I mean, we can see a lot of what's coming down the road with transhumanism, with genetically crafted babies, with possible immortality or extended lives. The jumping Jesus effect is an idea that information comes in faster and faster exponentially as we start to gather data. And we are at this point where our world is shifting so fast that, us young men are already old men in the system of today because it's going so fast that we, as Lennon was saying, you know, need to project into our children the necessary tools to adapt and to be able to make the right choices as these massive changes and changes that we can't even imagine are going to come, because we don't know what's coming. So the best thing to do is this preparation for the future generations.
Yeah, absolutely. See, we don't know what's coming, but we do know what we can do right now in the present moment. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind. That's where the power is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So his website is lennonhonor.com. That's one N, LennonHonor, lennonhonor.com. And, of course, his books are linked right there on freemantv.com. Check them out, looking into the ideas of writing for the fathers of the world of tomorrow. And, again, such a critical study, and I'm so glad, Lennon, that you gave us some of your backstory. I didn't know that. And I give you even more cred now because you have such a beautiful life to come from this. You can know that people listening, you can know that Lennon can guide you out of the darkest corners. And we are all being pushed into dark corners at this moment and all the media manipulation that we're witnessing around us. And if we don't find one another, then we will feel lost, hopeless, and they will win, right?
Yes, yes. And we are the light at the end of the tunnel, so we might as well get together and shine that light brighter. And I also want to say this, that anyone, if you're interested in my older works, my video documentaries, we talked about some of those here. I do have another website, lennonhonorfilms.com. It's actually right now, it's not up, but it will be up in and around the time of the Free Your Mind conference. So I just want to just put that in people's ear. You can come back to Lennon Honor Films and you can go through all of that work. I mean, I have like maybe 4 or 5 years worth of documentary work there. But my primary website now is lennonhonor.com. I'm also on Facebook under Lennon Honor, and also have a YouTube page, Lennon Honor Films, as well. I also want to thank you, brother, again for having me. I do appreciate it. And again, it's an honor to be able to talk with you. Anytime I'm able to talk with you, it's an honor. It's like coming full circle, as I said a few times here today. To be able to talk with someone who inspired me to get started in the first place. That's really, for me, it's like the icing on the cake for the journey. So I want to thank you for allowing me to talk with you. I'm looking forward to the video talk as well. And I just want to remind people, make sure you support Freeman, sign up to his website, become a member, and join us on for the video. And come on, call on in and talk with me. I would love to talk with more people about these salient topics. Thanks again, Freeman. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And just a last question. Are you doing your show now? What's going on with you right now?
Oh, okay. So right now, I'm preparing for a lecture in London on the 14th and 15th. And then when I get back from there, I'm going to be focusing in on getting my presentation ready for the Free Your Mind conference. But my main project right now is I'm finishing up my next book. So a lot of the other things that I were doing, like the radio shows and that kind of thing, I had to cut that out for a while. I'll bring it back later, but I had to focus in on getting this next book written. The next book is titled Pregnancy Support, What a Man Must Know, What a Woman Should Expect. And really, it's kind of like a guideline for people who want to create families, and showing men what they need to know about pregnancy, things that I did not know because my father wasn't in my life to teach me. And as a consequence, there was a lot of failures that I had in those, especially during those first two pregnancies. But what happened was my wife, she was patient enough with me, and I was able to continue to grow and to learn. And so that by the time that the third pregnancy came around, I did a lot better job at supporting her pregnancy. By the time the fourth pregnancy came along, I did an even better job. And by the time the fifth, I did a wonderful job on the fifth. So what I'm doing inside the book is I'm giving men an example of a man who didn't necessarily start off on a good footing when it came to starting off his family, but who has progressed over the years and has learned a lot of lessons. I'm sharing a lot of those lessons inside the book, but then also to give women an understanding of the importance of them setting a high standard as it relates to the level of support that they should receive during pregnancy, during the labor, during birth, and during the postpartum experience. And in general, women set a very low standard. You got to raise that standard as to the levels of support that you are to receive. Not just you, but your baby is to receive. And that's why the book is titled Pregnancy Support, What a Man Should Know, What a Woman Should Expect. That's my main project right now. I think I'm on the second edit right now. I'm going to do a third edit, meaning I'm editing through the book. And then after that, I'm going to hand it over to my wife. She'll do an edit, and then we'll finalize the book. So I'm figuring by the time the Free Your Mind conference comes around, the book will be available, and people can look forward to that. That's been my main focus over the last couple of months.
Nice. You're an amazing man, Lennon. Thank you so much for your time. Members, let's bounce on over to the members section and have a chat. So thank you all for tuning in here live on FreemanTV.com, and we will see you all next week.